It's time, my friend. It's tabernacle time. Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mebane's Tabernacle Baptist Church, proclaiming the gospel of salvation through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ since 1939. Tabernacle Baptist Church is independent, old-fashioned, and anchored on the immutable and inerrant teachings of the infallible preserved Word of God. We exclusively use the authorized King James Version. This is the pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church, Chip Salu. Tabernacle Baptist Church is located at 523 North Charles Street in Mebane, North Carolina. Our services begin this morning with Sunday school at 9:45. Our morning worship service and children's chapel is at 11. Our evening service is at 6 o'clock, and our Wednesday night prayer time and Bible study is at 7 o'clock. If you desire to know more about God's gift of salvation and how you can receive it, keep listening. If opportunity has kept you from being in God's house today, we pray that you will find encouragement and strength. Have you got your Bible? It's time, my friend. It's tabernacle time. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Tabernacle Time. What a blessing it is for us, and as always, a great privilege to be with you by means of radio, to share with you the wonderful message of God's Word, that God loves you. And He proved that love, He manifested that love, He commendeth His love toward us by sending His only begotten Son to die in our place, shedding His blood so that we might have everlasting life. We're going to be taking a look at Hebrews chapter 10 today, that's Hebrews chapter 10, but before we get into God's Word, let's listen to a song by the Victorious Valley Homes Singers from Sunset, South Carolina. The name of the first song that they're going to sing for us is titled Amazing Love.
Bleeding from the crown of thorns He wore, His heart was so heavy from the cross He bore. So much more. It was love that took Him to the cross. Amazing love.
Amazing love. How could it be that God would give His Son for me?
To pay my
amazing love, how could it be that Jesus gave His life for me?
So undeserving of His love, but oh, I'm thankful for His precious blood. To the cross, love amazing.
Amazing love, how could it be that God would give His Son for me?
To pay my sin debt and let me go free.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Romans chapter number 5, starting with verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He mentions also in verse number 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That amazing grace that Jesus Christ brought to this earth and shared with us as he died on that old rugged cross in our place, so that we might have everlasting life, so that we could be adopted into the family of God, is the whole essence of that amazing grace. How sweet the sound that God's amazing grace through Jesus Christ reached all the way to us to offer us salvation. Now, my friend, if you do not have this amazing grace because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you would like to have someone take a copy of God's holy word and share with you what the Bible says about how you can accept this gift of salvation, this gift of the amazing grace of God, please call me. I would count it an honor to be able to share with you what the Bible says about how you can receive this gift of salvation. My number is 919-563-6753. We would like to invite you to our church services today as well. Starting this morning with Sunday school, we meet at 9:45. Then our morning service is at 11 o'clock. Our evening service is at 6 o'clock. And our Wednesday night prayer time and Bible study is at 7 o'clock. Please be with us in all of these services. And unless you are providentially hindered, where you can't be with us until Wednesday night, please be with us this morning in Sunday school at Tabernacle Baptist Church, 523 North Charles Street, Mebane, North Carolina. And that starts this morning at 9:45. We also have a website, www.mebanetabernaclebaptistchurch.com. All one word, and Mebane is spelled M-E-B-A-N-E, mebanetabernaclebaptistchurch.com. There you'll find prior broadcasts of Tabernacle Time. You'll find sermons that have been preached at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and you will also find written material that will share with you how you can receive this gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, and written material that will also share with you how you can start living for the Lord after you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We have a YouTube channel as well. If you'll go to YouTube and type in the words Mebane's Tabernacle Baptist, and that's Mebane's with an apostrophe S, this will pull up all the videos that have been recorded at Tabernacle Baptist Church and will give you a link to our YouTube channel, Tabernacle Baptist. Now, just before we get into God's Word, we're going to be taking a look at Hebrews 10 today. Let's listen to another song by the Victorious Valley Homes Singers from Sunset, South Carolina. The name of this second song they'll be singing for us is titled, God is My Refuge.
When clouds of doubt hover o'er me, angry waves toss me to and fro, there is a place where I can go. He's a shield from every tempest. He's an anchor that is sure in times like these. Tower that I can I wandered from the shelter. Just ahead I could not see those dark clouds so heavy with rain. Angry winds blew hard against me, but he called out and I ran to him, and now I am safe from the storm. For God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that
the psalmist said in Psalm 62, starting with verse number 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." Then he said in verse number 8, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. The Bible teaches that God is a refuge. But the Bible also says that God is our refuge. And most importantly, here in verse number 7, God is my refuge. To say that He is a refuge is an important fact. To say that God is our refuge means that He offers salvation for the multitudes. For it's not the will of the Father that any should perish. But to say God is my refuge, that is as personal as saying the Lord is my shepherd. For you see, salvation is personal. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because no one can be saved for you. Even though there are parents that would love to be able to say, "I want to pray the prayer for my child," God will only hear the prayer of salvation from the individual that realizes that they are a sinner, repents of their sin, and asks Jesus to be their Savior. God is my refuge. I am glad for the personal refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the salvation He offers. We have just celebrated the birthday of our nation. And for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have been called to be a witness for the Lord. Listen to this last song by the Victorious Valley Homes Singers from Sunset, South Carolina. The name of this song is titled, "Who Will Go to America?"
Wide and blue, they carried their cross, not caring the loss, so other souls and for to go to every land, to the islands of the uttermost, to find forgotten men. But the most forgotten mission field
Jesus said in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We are called to be missionaries where we are. God may have it in His will for some of you to go to a foreign land to share the gospel, but America really needs your witness right now. America needs to have a clear presentation of the gospel presented where you live. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse number 19, the writer of Hebrews speaks about what those have who know Jesus as their personal Savior. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God." The writer says, having a perfect salvation and having a perfect high priest. In verse number 22, he says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." As the writer of Hebrews speaks about what we have, he also speaks about what we need to do because we have the perfect sacrifice, because we have the perfect high priest. We need to cleanse our lives from the sins that so easily beset us. We also need to hold fast the profession of our faith to have a testimony. Now remember, last week we said this is not the possession of salvation. That is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us salvation. He seals salvation to our soul by the Holy Spirit. He adopts us into the family of God. He makes us a new creature in Christ. The salvation that we receive by asking Jesus to save us is in the hand of the Lord, not in our hands. But our testimony is definitely within our hands, even as it says, "Let us consider one another," and then in verse number 25 to say, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Why? Because if we're not in church, how can we exhort one another? You see, this idea about the importance of being in church is not just for ourselves in worshiping the Lord. It is to exhort one another, and he says we should consider one another and then be faithful to church so we can exhort one another. But we go on to verse number 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Now, he's not talking about losing our salvation. Remember, our salvation is once for all. That's already been spoken of in Hebrews. But we do have the possibility of losing two things when we sin willfully. We have the probability of losing our fellowship with the Lord, and we also have the probability of losing our testimony for the Lord. If we sin willfully, that is going into sin knowing that it is displeasing to your heavenly Father. He said, when you do that, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, no more mercy for sin. For when we sin willfully, there is chastening. Now we see that plainly when David sinned with Bathsheba and murdered Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. When Nathan the prophet came to tell David, "Thou art the man," because David was the one who had sinned, there was forgiveness that was given because David said, "I've sinned against God," and Nathan said, "God has forgiven you." But there's also consequences to that sin. And listen to what happened to David. Because of the consequences of his sin, the baby, through Bathsheba, died. He lost two sons through death, one because of sin and one because of rebellion, and one daughter was destroyed because of immorality. Because of what happened, there was chastening. You see, there is also consequences to our sins. So when we say that there's a fiery indignation, that's not because of God's mercy not being adequate for us. But if we sin willfully, there are consequences to sin. Here we find in verse number 26 that there is no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, there will be chastening to bring us back. If we go into sin willfully, then there needs to be chastening to help us to see we don't go that way anymore. Verse number 27 we read, "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Of how much sore punishment, verse number 29 says, "Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." To sin willfully against God is an act of rebellion by the Christian to say, "I will go my way and I will do what I want." And just as David did that for Bathsheba, he could have at any time changed his direction and not gone into sin. Now, he had been where he shouldn't have been because he didn't go to battle as others had. And he stayed at home, and he saw Bathsheba, and he lusted after her. This opened the door for everything else. This didn't mean he had to sin. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God always makes a way out for his children so they don't have to sin because of temptation. When David was tempted, that was not sin. what he did after he was tempted, and following after that temptation led to adultery and also led to murder. And of course, he told Nathan that there ought to be a fourfold payment, and there was, for David, for the sin that he committed. Now, my friend, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, these verses of Scripture are not meant to discourage you from living for the Lord, but to encourage you to do right, warning you that there are also consequences to your sin. Would you like to skip the consequences of sinning against God, Christian? Well, the main thing to do would be to live for the Lord. Hold fast the profession of your faith to encourage and exhort others. My friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please remember that the opportunity you have to be saved may be short. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And yet, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and know you need to be saved today, you're gambling with eternity by saying, "No, I won't do it today." Will God give you another day to get saved? There's no guarantee of it. If He's dealing with your heart today, confess you're a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and turn away from them and ask Jesus Christ to save you. Call upon the name of the Lord. My friend, if I can be a help to you, please call me. And join us next week as we tabernacle around God's holy word here on Tabernacle Time. Thank you once again for being a part of today's broadcast. Did you receive Christ as your Savior today? Did you get some help for your Christian walk today? We would count it an honor to hear from you. Our mailing address is Tabernacle Time, 523 North Charles Street, Mebane, North Carolina, 27302. Our phone number is 919-563-6753. You can also contact us through our website, www.mebanetabernaclebaptistchurch.com. Visit us in our services. We start this morning with 9:45 Sunday School, 11 o'clock morning worship service, and 6 o'clock evening service. Our Wednesday night prayer time and Bible study is at 7 o'clock. We would love to hear from you, but whether we hear from you or not, we would like for you to be a faithful member of our radio audience and be ready with your Bible the next time you hear these words, "It's time, my friend, it's tabernacle time."